welcome to Indiana Weekend with John Strauss. This is a kind of radio magazine show about the interesting places and intriguing people in our part of the state. We're always interested in your thoughts. Drop us a note to indianaweekend@gmail.com with your suggestions and comments. Let us know what's going on where you are. It's the season of resolutions, regretting our indulgences, of newfound determination to right the gustatory wrongs of the holiday season. Exercise helps. In this week's show, meet the hardy souls who love winter hiking. And we'll hear from Carl Eikenberry, a Hoosier who's traveled the world, a retired general and former ambassador to Afghanistan, with his Indiana remembrances and advice for graduating Ball State students at commencement. But first, it's tempting in the winter to hibernate, to sit inside. We forget sometimes that the great outdoors is still pretty great, even in winter. We were lucky on a recent hike at Fort Harrison State Park in Indianapolis to meet Chicago native Kay Kenny out for a walk with her golden retriever mix, Josie.
I love the winter, so that's why Josie and I walk out here as often as we can, at least 4 days a week.
The cold doesn't bother you?
Not at all. You have to warm. I think people don't in Indiana don't understand. You have to dress warmly for the weather, and that's why they hate the winter.
Tell me all about it. How long have you been walking?
Well, I started walking when I got my first dog. I didn't know what to do with him. He was unruly. He was from Humane Society. And a friend suggested I take him out here. And he was a Brittany, so he was a game dog. And he would just calm down. It was like he was in his element. So that's when I started coming out here. And then I found her as a tiny puppy, about 2 months old. And she just followed his lead. They went swimming. Just fell in love with it. So this is where she's happiest.
Tell me again about the virtues of the winter.
Well, I guess, I really fall in love with winter in Chicago, even though you can really hate it. It can be horrible. It's also a really fun time because people seem to come together more than in the summertime, and they're more protective of each other. If you're taking public transportation, it's hellish, but there's a camaraderie that was really fun. I love the bare trees. I love the cawing of the birds. When I was up near South Bend, going to Potato Creek, the snow was up to my hip, and I went out there in Potato Creek with my dogs, and it was just magical. You could hear the coyote howling in the distance, and to me, that's really exciting. Makes me feel alive.
So some people walk in their neighborhoods. You like these state parks. Tell me a little bit about them.
I do because I feel that I can take her around more easily than in a neighborhood area. And I also get to enjoy it because I get to see the deer and the other animals that are around.
Some people might say, well, it's not as pretty in the winter.
Oh, it's beautiful in the winter. I mean, you just have to understand that the different textures. You get to see the textures of the tree more against the bare sky, and there's still color, and I love it. I love how the trees just, you can see the very tops.
And the cold doesn't bother you?
No, you have to dress warmly. I have a couple of layers on me, and I have gloves, and I'm fine. And a hood. I think a hood is important.
Tell me a little bit of a story about a time when you're walking in the parks like this.
Well, I'd have to go back up to Potato Creek, even though I love Fort Benjamin Harrison. Potato Creek, the snow would be up to my hip. I would come after work when I was able to release all that stress, and I would walk around, and my dogs loved it. We were the only ones there. Like I said, dusk was just coming on us. You could hear the wolves, not the wolves, but the coyote howling. So to me, that just made me feel alive. I really love the nature. After living in the city for 30 years, I don't think I would go back because I really love the nature.
A light snow was starting to fall. There weren't many people out on the trails at Fort Harrison State Park. The folks we did meet were happy to stop and talk, like Tim Miller and his wife Jane Carlson Miller from Napanee.
Well, I like to get out and move around. I hate just sitting still. And the fresh air, looking at anything. I mean, even now, the nature's not that gorgeous, but it's still pretty just to see things at different times of year. We're looking for animals. And just moving, keeping moving, and trying to stay young.
You do this a lot.
Yes, a lot. We've hiked. This is our fifth park that we've hiked and stayed overnight in this year. State Park in Indiana. And we hike, we bike, we cross country ski, what else do we do?
Besides the obvious temperature difference and, you know, the difference in the greenery, can you think of anything else different between summer and winter? Like, do you prefer winter for any reasons?
I like all the seasons, but it has been gorgeous today because the snowflakes are just kind of slowly coming down. It's just pretty. It's pretty. And a little bit of ice, ice starting to form. But the air is good and fresh and get your cheeks nice and red.
And no mosquitoes.
No mosquitoes. That is a really big plus. Big plus. No mosquitoes. You aren't sweating. We do carry water, but not quite. You don't have to keep hydrated quite so much in the winter.
And you like traveling.
Love to travel. Going different places, seeing different things.
Do you keep track of your miles? You do. You know how some people like.
We've got our Fitbits. Our Fitbits are going. We've gone 10 miles today. We're working on the last several miles here. So, yeah, we keep track of the floors, the calories, the steps, everything.
Tell me about today. What time you start and how long you'll go?
Well, today we got up. We had breakfast at the inn. Harrison has a continental breakfast. We enjoyed that. Then we came up and got dressed. We put on layers. And about 9:30, 10 o'clock, we drove out to the first track and trail, which is Lawrence Creek. And it's about 4 miles, a little less, a little more, depending on where you walk. And then we had lunch at the Garrison. And then we came out and did the Shone Creek, which is about 3 miles, maybe a little bit more. And now we're getting ready to do the Fall Creek.
And you're going to end up with over 10 miles.
Oh, I already have 10 miles. I got about 12 or 13 by the time we get through walking with the Fall Creek. But that's what you get out here, and you get to see the lake, and you get to see the streams, and you get to see the... I point out the squirrels to her. She says, where, but... She's busy looking to the ground so she doesn't trip over the roots.
Not everybody does this, but you really like this.
Oh, yes. We do this all the time. We've traveled Clifty Falls. We've stayed in 5 different park inns, walked all the trails there. We just love all the state park. The trails are well-maintained, well-marked, and you really can't lose come out here even for a day. You just get out and you get rid of all the tension, and you hear a little bit of quiet. You see the birds, and you do the...
Even in the winter?
Oh, yes, especially in the winter. That's when more of the tension is, because everybody is cooped up together in the winter where they can't get out. Whereas you get out here, and you see there's 4 people rather than 60. And, you know, you see a couple people on the trail, and they're all very friendly. You wave high, and they wave high, and off you go. And if you're lost, you say, hey, where am I? And they're more than happy to stop and say, well, this is where you're at. This is where you need to go. And they meant in a nice way.
Of the places that you've been, can you tell us a little bit about them and how you compare them and everything?
Well, we go and stay at the inn in the state parks, and each one is very unique. Clifty Falls, you're sitting up, you're about 500 feet up, and you look right down on the Ohio River, and you see the tugs, and you see the river boats going through, and the waterfalls there. We got there when it was dry. We walked the creeks, and then the next day it rained, and you got beautiful waterfalls going down. You get to see all that. It was just beautiful. Potato Creek, you're walking through the creeks and up through, and they got just beautiful trails, and they got a nice big river flowing through there, so you have a lot of water activities if you want it. We went to Pokagon, and they have the toboggan run, and it's refrigerated, so, and they charge you by the hour, but you know, you can take a family up there with your toboggans, and you get up there and you just go. And you can go now, even though there's no snow, because it's refrigerated. And the rooms are just beautiful. It's a beautiful place at the Pokagon Lodge. And in Harrison is an old Army base. I'm retired Navy. Did 21 years. I'm used to these old buildings. This is old home week for me. So we get into a room. We got a suite. It's just lovely. The people were very nice. And then you get out here and you start walking the trails. And these are moderate trails. These are not difficult. You don't walk through any creeks or rocks or anything. It's all very easy walking. But you can put some miles on and just enjoy. And if you can just get a little quiet and you just sort of feel your shoulders relaxing, you just sort of feel yourself breathing a little easier. And, you know, you just don't get out of the rat race.
Were you on board ship?
Oh, yeah. I was on the USS David R. Ray. I was on the USS Arkansas. I commissioned her. And USS Normandy, and I commissioned her.
What was your job?
I was a gunner's mate. I'm a Tomahawk missile chief. Or was. No longer.
But if someone had a Tomahawk, you could help them out.
Oh, well.
Does being at sea, does that make you kind of appreciate nature and trails and woods anymore, do you think? Or,
you know, I used to think there was nothing better than to be down by the equator and go out right at twilight with a little bit of breeze going and those nice, easy swells. And it's another one of those just relaxing moments where you can't hear. The only thing you can hear is just a little bit of the wind, a little bit of the breeze. And it's just, that's a calming. It's really just beautiful. But these compare. These get out here into the woods without nobody else out here, and you can relax. So enjoy yourself. Come out and go do things.
Are you from Indiana originally?
Yes, I was born in Columbia City.
Oh, okay. And you live now in?
Napanee, Indiana.
For people who aren't from Indiana or haven't been to all these places, I mean, you know, there's some misconceptions about the state. What do people not realize about Indiana, do you think?
By and large, we're probably friendly, and people think of us as being backwards and yokel. But what's wrong with that? You know, I have a college degree. She has a college degree. I've been around the world 3 times. I've been on every continent but Antarctica, and I chose to come back here. I was stationed in San Diego. I was stationed in New York City. I was stationed in Maine. I was stationed in Norfolk, Virginia. I was stationed in Bremerton, Washington. And I was an instructor in Chicago, at North Chicago and Great Lakes. And I've been on every state. I've been on every continent, like I said, except for Antarctica. And I chose to come back to Indiana just because of the way the people treat you and the economy. And I grew up around farmers, so I know the talk. I know the lingo. And I know how hard they work. And we treat everybody on your merits, not on who you are or who you know or, you know, what do you personally. So if you're a good guy, we treat you as a good guy. If you're not a bad guy, we'll probably turn you out of the state.
Do you and Jane, do you guys fly around the state? I mean, is that part of the fun?
That's part of the fun. We fly to all the state parks. We flew here. We flew into Fishers. And we can get a rental car right on the airfield, and it's 15 minutes to here. We flew into Bloomington in November, and it was 20 minutes to McCormick Park. We flew into Clifty, which is in Madison County. We flew into Madison County, and it was, 15 minutes to the park from the airport there. So there's an airport close to every one of them, and we fly in and get a rental car and go to the state park and flake out. It's great.
That's Tim Miller and his wife, Jane Carlson Miller, from Napanee. They love winter walking and had done more than 10 miles that day when we met them at Fort Harrison State Park. He's retired Navy, 56, working in law enforcement now. They fly around to the state parks in their Cessna, and they love being outside any time of the year.
You give me cause for love that I can't hide. For you, I know I'd even try to turn the tide. Because you're mine, I walk the line.
Indiana Weekend. Interesting people and places from across our region. Look for that name on Facebook and drop us a line. Let us know what you think at indianaweekend@gmail.com. Now here's John Strauss.
Finally, in this, our last show of 2016, a look ahead to the next year. In Muncie, we just celebrated the graduation of another group of Ball State students. The commencement speaker was retired General Carl Eikenberry, the former ambassador to Afghanistan. His mother, Mary Drusilla All, graduated from Ball State Teachers College. She had been on the staff of the Ball State student newspaper in the 1940s, and Eikenberry, the day before commencement, stopped in to see the Unified Media Lab and talk about his family's Indiana roots.
My mother was born in Marion, Indiana. My father was born in Indianapolis, Indiana. In their sophomore year in high school, which was Muncie Central High School. They met. My father went off to the Second World War. My mother went to Ball State Teachers College and graduated in 1945. After the war was over, they reconnected and married, left Indiana, moved around a lot. But as my mother, as I was growing up, my mother was very clear, was very proud of being a Ball State University graduate. And one of her greatest experiences, she talked about it, Ball State University, was being on the Ball State Daily News staff. And in fact, she kept an article that she had written, or actually a paper she had prepared for the Ball State Daily News. And she showed that to me when I remember when I was in high school as an example of what she thought of pretty good writing. And I agreed it was great writing. So this is a big deal for me to come back in the year 2016 and visit this place that was so formative in my mom's development. Most of her extended family still lives in Delaware County area. So I'm here for the, I'm here to be the commencement speaker, but most of my mom's side of the family that's still in the state of Indiana, they're coming to commencement and going to be sitting proudly in Worth and Arena hearing about their aunt.
Do you remember, did your mom ever tell you any story about her time at Ball State, your mom and dad? Did they ever?
Well, you know, late now, they both right. left us. But my mom, yeah, she talked about her time at Ball State very proudly as an experience that, well, she was proud, first of all, because that was an era in which women still were in a minority in our colleges and university, although Ball State Teachers College was very, I think was well over 50% of the students here were female. And yet that was an era in which it was still unusual for women to be off at college. So she felt proud of that. She, during the time that she was here at Ball State Teachers College, she also worked at, I think it was BorgWarner. And she worked at BorgWarner, which was producing transmissions, which was a vital part of our defense industrial production. And she was a worker on the factory floor at BorgWarner, making money to help pay for her college tuition. And she was also proud of that, too.
Well, you ended up heading up a mechanized unit, didn't you? Did you ever tell her thanks for making
I'm just kidding. I did tell her, I told her thanks, but not often enough for the big difference she made in my life and teaching me values and teaching me, based upon her time here at Ball State Teachers College, teaching me the skills of writing and the importance of communications.
Eikenberry had some lessons of his own to impart the next day, speaking at commencement to an arena of graduates. His message, you're lucky to have gotten an education when so many can't. You have a duty now to make a difference.
Always remember that there are, and likely always will be, in your lifetimes, hundreds and millions throughout our country and around the world who can only dream of enjoying your good opportunities and fortunes. You should be very proud of the diploma that will soon be in your hand, but consider the words of Michael Lewis, who authored the extraordinarily insightful book, Moneyball. Lewis wrote about the difficulty of objectively assessing aptitude and performance, even in the seemingly precise, statistic-informed profession of American Major League Baseball. His conclusions, with which I profoundly agree. We can easily become deceived by our own success, losing sight of the role of luck, chance, and circumstance. And we owe a debt to the unlucky, for we often rise on their shoulders. So on this commencement day, as you commence your professional careers, remember that almost all of you will eventually become leaders in American society or those societies to which you will soon return. You will increasingly find yourselves in positions of responsibility with your actions, decisions, impacting the livelihoods and very sense of self-worth of others who have not enjoyed your life's circumstantial advantages. Who we are is a product of our environment, the expectations of those in our circles, and our own choices. You've been extraordinarily blessed during your formative years to dwell in this remarkable environment called Ball State University. Now share your own good fortune in the years ahead with those who are going to rely upon you in the workplace and at home. Create the right environment and set the expectations of others high. Believe in those who are entrusted to your care so that they will believe in themselves. Live by the principle that life is not about you, it's not about them, it's about us. I think that's part of living up to the tradition of the Cardinal Nation and to a higher calling in life. I'll end with the words of the legendary professional football coach, Vince Lombardi. Perfection is not attainable, but if we chase perfection, we can catch excellence. Now go out there and catch some excellence in the wider world beyond this campus. And my last word is, I need a moment here to get this right. Chirp, chirp. Bless all of your families and happy holidays.
Retired General Carl Eikenberry, an Indiana native back in the state to deliver Ball State's fall commencement address on December 17th. Commencements are about beginnings, of course. 2017 is about to begin, and you could take Eikenberry's advice about remembering how lucky we've been, how maybe we owe something to a world where so many are not so lucky. It's a good starting point for a New Year's resolution, maybe. Gratitude. And of course, by the way, Happy New Year. If you're thinking about plans for this year, consider one more good deed if you could, joining the IPR family of members. Indiana Public Radio has all your favorites like Morning Edition and All Things Considered, along with local news and programs like Indiana Weekend. So if you're not a member or if it's been a while, why not join us again? Just call 1-800-646-1812 or go to indianapublicradio.org. And as always, thanks so much for your support. And that's our show for today. I'm John Strauss. Big thanks to our producer, Sean Ashcraft, and the folks in the front office, including your friends Matt Bloom, Connie Clary, Lori Georgie, Emily Kowalski, Andrea Lutz, John Morgan, Angie Rapp, Debbie Webb, Alicia Franklin, and Elena McKenzie. In the meantime, thanks and have a great week until we meet again on the next Indiana Weekend on Indiana Public Radio.
Indiana Weekend with host John Strauss. Our show is engineered at Indiana Public Radio, produced by Sean Ashcraft. Major support for Indiana Weekend comes from IPR's listeners. We hope you'll join your friends who are IPR members. You can go to indianapublicradio.org or give us a call at 1-800-646-1812. Join us again next week for Indiana Weekend with John Strauss here on Indiana Public Radio.